Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Road to Ruin by James Rickards is a warning-driven exploration of how the modern financial system, as designed and managed by powerful institutions, is vulnerable to a major breakdown. Building on his reputation for translating complex monetary dynamics into clear narratives, Rickards argues that policymakers have normalized emergency measures such as near-zero interest rates, quantitative easing, and implicit bailouts, creating distortions that make the next crisis more likely and potentially more severe. The book connects central banking, market structure, and geopolitical stress to show how fragile confidence can become when debt loads rise and real growth lags. Rather than focusing only on Wall Street, Rickards emphasizes the role of international bodies, regulatory coordination, and political incentives that shape monetary outcomes. Readers are guided through the logic behind asset bubbles, liquidity shocks, and contagion, with practical attention to what individuals and businesses can do to prepare. The tone is urgent and contrarian, aiming to provoke skepticism toward official assurances of stability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how crisis management became the new normal. A central theme is that the policies used to stop the last crash were not temporary fixes, but became a standing framework for economic management. Rickards highlights how ultra-low interest rates and large-scale central bank balance sheet expansion can calm markets in the short run while quietly changing investor behavior over the long run. When money is cheap and volatility is suppressed, leverage becomes more attractive, risk premiums shrink, and asset prices can rise beyond what underlying productivity justifies. The book frames this as a shift from price discovery to policy-driven markets, where participants watch central bank signals as closely as corporate fundamentals. That creates a system that looks stable until it is not, because stability itself encourages greater risk-taking. Rickards also stresses the political convenience of these measures. They can postpone hard fiscal choices, soften recessionary pain, and support employment figures, all of which are appealing to elected leaders. Yet postponement can compound the eventual adjustment. The takeaway is not that intervention is always wrong, but that repeated interventions can build dependencies and make the next policy response less effective. Secondly, the hidden mechanics of the next financial shock. Rickards discusses how modern crises can ignite through plumbing problems rather than headline scandals. He emphasizes the importance of liquidity, collateral, and interbank confidence, arguing that markets can freeze even when many assets appear healthy on paper. In this view, the trigger may be a sudden loss of confidence in counterparties, a rapid repricing of risk, or a breakdown in short-term funding channels that corporations and banks rely on daily. The book also points to the speed of contagion in a globally connected system. Capital moves instantly, algorithms amplify momentum, and fear spreads across asset classes. Another element is the buildup of leverage in places that seem distant from traditional banking, including shadow banking activities and complex products that rely on continuous refinancing. When refinancing stalls, forced selling can cascade. Rickards connects these mechanisms to the limits of central bank tools, noting that liquidity injections may not solve solvency problems and that negative rates or further quantitative easing can have diminishing returns. The core insight is that the next shock may look different from 2008, yet still rhyme with it through leverage, opacity, and sudden liquidity evaporation. Thirdly, global elites, institutions, and the incentives behind policy. The book's argument about global elites focuses on how decision-making is shaped by networks of central banks, finance ministries, international organizations, and influential market participants. Rickards portrays these groups as coordinating frameworks, shared assumptions, and crisis playbooks that tend to protect the system and its largest nodes first. He suggests that such coordination can stabilize markets temporarily while also concentrating power and reducing accountability, especially when policies are executed through technocratic channels rather than public debate. The book explores incentive mismatches. Policymakers often prioritize preventing immediate collapse, maintaining market confidence, and avoiding political blame, while the costs of interventions can be diffused across savers, wage earners, and future taxpayers. Rickards also stresses that elite consensus can create blind spots, such as over-reliance on models, underestimation of tail risks, and a tendency to treat debt expansion as manageable indefinitely. The reader is encouraged to view official narratives critically, not because every institution acts in bad faith, but because institutional incentives and career risks can favor optimism and incrementalism. The practical result is a system where warning signs may be minimized until they become impossible to ignore. Fourthly, from currency wars to geopolitical stress, Rickards links financial instability to geopolitics, arguing that money is a strategic tool as much as an economic one. Competitive devaluations, sanctions, and reserve currency politics can shift capital flows and reshape global demand for dollars, euros, or other major currencies. The book highlights how nations may pursue policies that serve domestic priorities even if they destabilize the international system, especially during periods of slow growth. In this lens, currency tensions are not abstract. They affect trade balances, corporate earnings, commodity pricing, and the affordability of dollar-denominated debt in emerging markets. Rickards also points to the fragility created by global imbalances, where some countries accumulate large reserves while others rely on continuous inflows. When geopolitical events raise risk premiums, these flows can reverse quickly. He further connects stress points like sovereign debt concerns, banking fragility in key regions, and political fragmentation to market volatility. The message is that crises often emerge when economic vulnerabilities meet political shocks, and the global system has fewer buffers when many countries are already using extraordinary monetary policies. Readers come away with a broader map of risk that goes beyond stock charts and domestic indicators. Lastly, personal and portfolio resilience in an unstable system, beyond diagnosis, Rickards emphasizes preparation, urging readers to think in terms of resilience rather than prediction. He encourages diversification across asset types and jurisdictions, with attention to liquidity needs, counterparty exposure, and the possibility that correlations can spike during panics. The book commonly associates resilience with holding assets that can perform when confidence in paper claims erodes, and with limiting reliance on continuous market access. He also addresses the importance of understanding how banks, brokers, and money market instruments function in stress scenarios, because operational disruptions can matter as much as price declines. Risk management is treated as a lifestyle choice as well as a portfolio choice, reducing debt, maintaining emergency reserves, and keeping flexibility in career and business plans can help weather volatility. Rickards frames these steps as rational responses to a system where policy responses may include capital controls, bail-ins, or other measures that change the rules during emergencies. The emphasis is on anticipating a range of outcomes, from inflationary responses to deflationary shocks, and building a plan that does not depend on a single macro forecast being correct. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want a big-picture explanation of financial fragility, especially investors, business owners, policy-curious professionals, and anyone uneasy with constant central bank experimentation. It is also useful for readers who followed the last crisis but still wonder why the system seems perpetually one shock away from turbulence. The benefit is twofold. It sharpens your ability to interpret monetary policy as a driver of market behavior, and it encourages practical thinking about resilience, liquidity, and exposure to hidden leverage. Even if you disagree with Rickards' more suspicious framing of elite coordination, the book pushes you to examine incentives, institutional limits, and the non-obvious ways crises propagate. Compared to many finance books that focus narrowly on stocks, real estate, or retirement rules, this one aims at the architecture of the system, connecting central banks, global capital flows, and geopolitics into a single risk narrative. That breadth makes it worth buying if you want a cohesive framework rather than scattered tips. It offers a structured way to question official reassurance, stress test assumptions, and build a more durable plan for an uncertain decade. If you would like to support James Rickards, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.